Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Wednesday, February the 10th, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on, Jeff, and Professor Joel. And both the professors and Jeff brought something to the table today we need to talk about. Now, we're going to bring Professor Paul on here in a moment, and welcome, Paul. You brought a tape of General Flynn, a recording of General Flynn to me. I had a hell of a time this morning, folks. Thought we'd get our things going, and everybody's being attacked, and poor Paul, he's being attacked today. And it's just part of the nature, but my website's been down for 2 days in a row. We're going to talk about that after we hear about General Flynn's comments. And we're going to talk about cyber pandemic, which is the next round they're going to do to us, tearing down sites, stopping people from posting on the internet. And we're going to talk about end times with Jeff and Paul and Joe. Now, first I'm going to play a tape of General Flynn, and then Paul's going to pick it up and explain what he says. Here we go. This is an interview with General Flynn, and this is on the Prophecy Club, Stan Johnson, I believe it is, Paul. It was on his program that he put up there. Now, I took the tape part of General Flynn from that interview, but I will post that interview of his underneath when I post this audio tape.
Michael Flynn, and he's going to say in this interview that no, Trump did not sign the Insurrection Act, and no, there is no plan.
Did President Trump ever sign into action the Insurrection Act?
No, nonsense.
Nonsense. Is the United States military running the country or just dealing, is that nonsense as well?
More nonsense. More nonsense. There's no plan. There's so many people out there. Is the plan happening? There's no, I mean, have what we have, and we have to accept the situation as it is.
I'm going to play that again because I needed to hear it twice, so I assume you need to hear it twice too. Listen carefully. This was recorded around noon on Friday, this past Friday.
Did President Trump ever sign into action the Insurrection Act?
No.
Nonsense. Is the United States military running the country or just dealing, is that nonsense as well?
More nonsense. More nonsense. There's no plan. There's so many people out there. Is the plan happening? There's no, I mean, we have what we have, and we have to accept the situation as it is.
I don't like that, and I think...
Okay, I'll let you pick it up from there, Paul. Professor Paul, welcome.
Well, thank you. Hi, Joel. Hi, Joffrey. Joffrey, we think you're invaluable because we just played for the first time something that you've never heard. What did you hear General Flynn say?
Honestly, it was a little bit hard to hear listening just because it sounds like it's a little bit garbled to me, but it sounded to me like there never was a signed Insurrection Act, and that was really something that wasn't necessarily even maybe strongly considered, and that's kind of what I could hear, just because of clarity, but I haven't listened to it in detail, so I'm not sure. That's kind of what I'm picking up, is that it was more of an audio issue.
Okay, Jeff, let me turn it up a little bit because I did record it, and it is muffled, and it is a problem child. So let me turn it up a little bit to make sure that it does get recorded, if it needed to be, into the, and you'll also be able to hear it a little bit better. I'll double the volume for a second. And
hang on. He's going to say in this interview that no, Trump did not sign the Insurrection Act, and no, there is no plan. Did President Trump ever sign into action the Insurrection Act?
No.
Nonsense. Is the United States military running the country or just dealing, is that nonsense as well?
More nonsense. More nonsense. There's no plan. There's so many people out there. Is the plan happening? There's no, I mean, we have what we have, and we have to accept the situation as it is.
I'm going to play that again because I needed to hear it twice, so I assume you need to hear it twice.
plan happening, what we have, and we have to accept the situation as it is.
Okay. Now, were you able to hear that, Jeff?
Yes, I was able to hear parts of it, parts of it a little better. So it was, from what I'm understanding and saying, is that it was nonsense that it was not signed. There was no Insurrection Act signed. There really wasn't a plan to have it signed, which is utter nonsense. And the military really isn't necessarily running the show like maybe some of these sites, the QAnons would say they are. Because a lot of QAnons are saying, hey, look, they're keeping the fences up to keep the people in while they do arrests, while they do, they net out the crime, they net out the punishment. And so, yeah, it sounded like to me that none of that, which we have been led to believe, is the narrative. In other words, what we've been hearing on the alt sites maybe couldn't be farther from the truth, unfortunately. Depending upon what you want to hear. But it seems as though there really isn't a lot of direction on Trump's end and that chapter of him coming back and him doing what he thinks or what they think he might do is pretty much nonsense. And that's kind of what I'm getting out of it.
Thank you, Joffrey. And really, I think now we have the launch. And Joel and I, of course, have been skeptical and cautious, well, even before Tromboni, Donald John Tromboni, the Trumpster, was selected even. But that being said, it doesn't mean we're wise guys or have any hidden wisdom. It just means that we've lived a little bit, and we know that every president is selected, and they're not really in charge. Now, the bigger point that I want to start with is this. Everyone knows the mainstream media is nothing but lies. It's lies upon lies upon lies upon lies. And we are part of a PSYOP within a PSYOP that's a PSYOP. And so it's kind of like talking about Russia. You know, it's an enigma wrapped in something with a riddle for a bow tie. I can't remember exactly what it is. But I think it's really important to note that what we're trying to do is help people to connect dots, to use inductive thinking. And what I'm trying to say is big picture. There are a lot of constituent parts, and what people get caught up on are the constituent parts that fit in a bigger whole. And figuring out what's really going on for any of us is problematic. Now we have General Flynn, and he says, nonsense, nonsense. And what does he say nonsense to? Well, one, did Trump sign the Insurrection Act? Nonsense. Is the military working for Trump? Nonsense. Is there a plan? Nonsense. And then what does Flynn say? We got to accept what is, what reality is. Now, all of that being said, there's a lot of things about Joseph Robinette Biden that don't add up. Now, I want to just put out a disclaimer. We do as much due diligence research as we possibly can, and we try and put out credible information. And because of Stu, and Stu is beyond amazing. I mean, people are listening because of Stu Webb. And then you add Joel, who actually knows a lot of the people that Stu knows and has been at this forever. Now, I've also been at it forever, too. But I'm coming at things from an academic point of view, and my experience and my background is a little bit different. And then you add Joffrey into the mix, and you've got a pretty comprehensive team here. And so now it's time for me basically to turn it over to you guys and say, what do you make all this, guys?
Well, let's start with you, Jeff.
Well, I would say that what I wanted to hear as a consumer of information is I wanted to hear something that gives me hope that the other side, the conservative side, the Trump side, wants to hear. We want to hear something. So I'm wondering if part of the problem is, do we have selective hearing in that things that we've grasped for, we have been easily persuaded with, maybe without the due diligence that you or Joel or Paul, just by the nature of your being professors / do experience living a thing, are we as consumers too readily duped into wanting to hear what we wish to hear, not what we should hear? And so I guess what I like is the fact that, and I can attest to this, I don't know where Paul or where Professor Joel is as much, but Stu and Paul have had their antenna up on this for some time. That, hey, are we really hearing what we think we are? Is this really a organic movement that Trump has this much authority and behind the scenes, and he's got things working in that direction? And I can honestly say I don't think you guys have ever fallen for the fact that, you know, this is going to be the utopia that it's always been, pretty much food around the corner. It's going to happen, but not quite yet. Give it a little more time. Patriots in control. You guys never really bid on that, to your credit, and I guess that's where I'm looking at. I honestly must say I did to a degree, but it's because I wanted to. I wanted to hear that, hey, what can we take from this? What hope do we have that something is around the corner we can latch on to? And I don't want to misplace that hope in things I shouldn't, because we know spiritually that hope is in the Lord. But humanistically speaking, this is where I was. It's like, okay, give me some more good news. We're junkies. We are junkies out here, and we need you guys on the stability side of things to say, hey, wait a minute. Hey, tap the brake a little bit here. Let's dig a little deeper. And so I will say, to the credit of the show, that's kind of what we're getting here. Tap the brakes. Let's find out if the details are legit. Make sure you've verified where it's coming from.
Now, I myself admit, a couple of weeks before the inauguration, I was called by a spook and told we were on red alert. Well, I thought that was his insurrection act, I believed, possibly. But it's an automatic transition deal with the United States government. We always go on a red alert, I found out, within a couple of weeks before and a couple of weeks after, sometimes up to a couple of months after. And that's just to secure the new transition. Now, I was spooning. I even put Jim Fetzer on. I put Scott Bennett on. I'm aware. And Scott never said there was an insurrection act when I interviewed him, the last one. He talked about what he felt Sidney Powell was going to be doing. Okay, and because he gave 6 weeks of testimony in Washington, D.C., Scott Bennett did, before investigators of government, I'll put it that way. Now, so I wanted to believe this as well, because I've been looking for justice for 38 and a half years, and yeah, it doesn't exist in America. It does not exist. Now, Joe, I want your comment on this, and then we're going to talk about cyber terrorism for a little while, or cyber pandemic. But I want your opinion on this thing with General Flynn and all the disinformation that we're all hearing out here.
Okay, General Flynn's interview is pinning the tail on the donkey. Trump was selected. Trump was selected. There were too many things in the beginning with Trump. He said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and he never did. He never did. No. And that when you take that to people because they have their hope, which is understandable, what I present is kind of like an acid, and it really hurts people because it dashes their hope. And they thought that because of what Trump said at all of his rallies, that he was the cavalry, and he wasn't. And a person that really put it into concrete for me was Whitney Webb's investigative work on Jeffrey Epstein. And in there is an exact description of who Trump is and where he came from.
Now, folks,
he was not the cavalry.
She did an excellent series of stories. I read them. I even put some of them linked up to my website, but her website, she's no relation to me, Whitney Webb, unlimitedhangout.com. Her connections to the Brofmans in her series of stories were very accurate, because Brofman was Seagram 7's, and Brofmans was, like Larry Mizell was, they were underneath Leonard Millman, my ex-witch doctor's father, in the mob. He inherited from Meyer Lansky. And now Larry Mizell is the fallen angel possessed in charge. He was on the board of Silverado. He had the company MDC Holdings, the mortgage fraud, all the stuff. You can see it on the front of my website. Blackmailing congressmen, senators with Jack Abramoff, the whole bit, him and Larry Mizell, the two attorneys that graduated in 72 from Laurel together. One became CIA director underneath Daddy Bush, CIA director, one of the six CIA counsel, Norman Brownstein. The other remained building houses and apartments for Millman. He was a lawyer, Larry Mizell. He killed more people and buried a lot of them down in Mexico, where they found about 500 bodies in there a few years back, and many of them were identified as people from Denver. Larry, you and John, what was his name, that robbed John King. I can't remember his name, but he's a killer, and he was a Denver cop. He knows where all the bodies are buried. He got off to killing United Bank guards. They were the money launderers, and went in there with the key, the card, went and shot and killed him and got off. Feds wouldn't charge him. State did, but he got him off with a crooked attorney. Anyway, those are the guys that ran Silverado with Neil Bush, laundering the Clintons' drug money, etc. Here's the point. Brownstein and Mizell are both APEC directors, the American-Israeli Pact, which is part of our problem that we're going to discuss about cyber pandemic in a few minutes. But these are the guys that run the show here in America, Rand Brofman's. Okay, now Brofman's and, I forgot his name, Edward Brofman or something like that, him and Larry Mizell, after Millman died in 2004, in 2006, they bought the Bank of Israel. And it had been the state-owned bank. They took it over, along with some gangster out of New Jersey that was all tied up with them, who was under federal charges at the time. And they bribed Omar, the president of Israel, to give him the Bank of Israel, which they privatized. And they opened up 18 new branches around the United States to launder their drug money through, folks. Bank of Israel. Anyway, Omar got charged. They beat the charges of bribery and all kinds of shit involved in the Bank of Israel. The state of Israel found him not guilty at the Supreme Court, but he had been under about 10 or 12 different bribery charges over the years, and they finally caught him on the last one and put him away about 2 years ago for 6 years. Thank you, President Omar. You and Larry Mizell are real great guys, but they're the ones that run the mob, the Jewish mob in America. They run everything in America pertaining to drug money laundering. They own HSBC Bank, which was tied to Silverado before, still running it as part of Great West Life out of Canada, out of Denver, Colorado, that broke SNL, is all over the place, and it is a subsidiary of Power Financial of Canada, which originally was Meyer Lansky's business. Now, that kind of explains a little bit of the financial connection to this. But General Flynn, I want to explain something to you pertaining to Donald Trump. Whitney Webb wrote this series of stories tying Trump heavily. Now, Joel has brought it everybody's attention. It's very good to look and see what she says. She's probably one of the most talented writers we have on the planet today, in my opinion. She's doing excellent work. She covered part of the cyber pandemic in the past, what they were capable of doing and how they did it. She's covered a lot. She's lucky to be alive, in my opinion. If I could get a hold of her and interview her, I'd love to do it, and I hope to do it at some point in the future. Now, with that said, She's got some excellent pieces out there. How she missed Milman, I don't know, and it's probably because she never knew about it. But someone has fed her a lot of good information. Now, that ties to the cyber pandemic. But she did these stories on Donald Trump and connected him all up in this stuff. The only thing I know about Donald Trump, other than what he told us, was the fact that General Flynn, I knew, and General Flynn was behind him. And when Otis Johnson had told me, I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going Trump. He's not evil. He's not evil. Well, there was an operation going on, and I'm convinced of that. Here's why. You go to my website, go to the radio bar, scroll down till you see a posting approximately last October or September of Otis Johnson. Private conversation of him, a super spook, for 14, 16, 18 minutes, whatever it was. Only time I recorded him, because I had a hit on me. I had this motherfucker following me around, and this guy was appearing on Alex Jones's radio show and shit. And I'm going, oh, fuck, what is this all about? Okay, go back and listen, you can hear it. Because I describe it and mention Jones. Because he's a stooge. He's a troll. He's working for your government in Division Number 5. A troll, Israeli, whatever it is. They pay him. They're intertwined. Disinformation. Just like all the radio stations bought up by Viacom since 1992. And why? Because of Daddy Bush's executive order to allow it to be done. They came out with Air Force One. Who was that? That was James M. Lyons, sat on the board of directors of MDC Holdings in Denver, the parent company of Silverado, the parent company of all this other shit. Bank bailout, asset investors, asset this and that. Here's the point. They come out of the movie called Air Force One. It put them on the radar scope, and they went around after that, hit Wall Street, grabbed everybody's loot, and they ran off with the assets as they typically do. But who is James M. Lyons? He was Clinton's personal attorney when they were in the White House, folks. And he sat on the board of directors, and his son, James M. Lyons, was a new creation called Viacom. That's an example of how they take over shit. They took over Hollywood in 1992 with the buyout. Milman goes in, takes out ABC and Mickey Mouse. He already had Davis Oil as his buffer with Paramount, and Daddy Bush bought up CBS, and they already had the Cocaine News Network, and they proffered up Fox News with Rupert Murdoch, which was an Israeli Mossad agent, okay, and all the spy satellites, and as Otis Johnson, a super spook, told me when the Chinese were putting up all these satellites, folks, that the U.S. government did not know what were on the satellites. They put up Fox News' satellites. Otis told me they got the damn death ray hooked up to it, and we're going to talk about that in this program. And we're up to about 25 minutes, so we got plenty of time to discuss these things. But I'm going to tell you who Otis Johnson was and the reason I believed in Trump and still thought there may have been a possibility. Otis Johnson worked for General Flynn. Otis Johnson, I had remodeled his house for a year. And I put him at the airport one time. And it was Michael Hayden, a fucking dickhead, man. Oh, I hate that bastard. He tried to have me murdered. And even Otis told me that. Now, I put him on an airplane. He lived in Hastings and near Cotty College. And if anybody knows where that's at or reference it. And later on, he got me a house down the street a few years later to remodel. And, you know, I pick up 50 grand and everybody buys the materials, but I still make around 50 grand off of it. So I could support myself moving from job to job type deal. Now, that's the way I became. Here I was, one of the top builders at the time back in 79 to 81 in Kansas City, and here I'm reduced after marrying into the crime syndicate. No more loans. But here was the point. I'm up there. I put him on an airplane in Grand Island, Nebraska with General Hayden. They go out to Groom Lake, Area 51. They show him the new toys, testing him. He comes back and says, I think he was testing me. He says, I hate that fucker, you know, and the whole bit. And he hated Hayden. He said he was a rat bastard. Called him a few other names, too. Evil on top of it. But Otis, a second time, I put him on an airplane, and it was General Flynn, because I drove him out on the tarmac, right near the end of the steps, in his Cadillac, presses the button in the dash, the trunk opens up, he says, stay in the car, he said, I don't want him to see you, all the whole bit, I said, okay, so anyway, he walks up the end of the stairs, and I see General Flynn come out, and he salutes him, and he salutes General Flynn, and then General Flynn salutes me, I salute him back. Well, They took him to, he took him out to Bluffdale, Utah. And when he was out there, he comes back, he says, Stu, damn, you can't believe it. Six floors below grand, below ground of beyond computers. I said, what do you mean? He says, beyond computers. These things are artificial intelligence to its max. And he says, you were right. They built an alien base on the south side. And he says, it goes all the way to Richfield like you told me. He says, I saw it. He says, I was in it. I said, who's running things? It's private contractors. Private contractors. It's tied to Daddy Bush. I said, no shit. And he says, yeah. Now, Daddy Bush, we know, was a fallen angel possessed piece of crap. Now, here's who Otis Johnson was and how he knew things. He was one of the people that kept you safe during the night shift, sometimes during the day shift, sometimes during another shift, an evening shift. They had about three shifts at the NSA going, from what I understood, a think tank, folks. These were super spooks. These were the brainchilds. These were the ones that they spent 300 people were ever trained like 007 in the movie James Bond. This guy was trained that way, and I got to know him. How I got to know him was I was a political prisoner in 1992, and he happens to be the guy that was sitting in a jail cell, comes in there a little bit later, and he's in a cell with another guy. Well, it turns out to be I had long talks in that cell with both of them. One of them busted John Gotti. He was in protective custody by the feds. He was locked up in the latest facility to keep him safe from being murdered. He busted John Gotti. Okay? They couldn't get him on murder, so they got him on drugs. He was the truck driver, busted John Gotti. New York cop signed to the CIA. Now, Otis Johnson was CIA, and he was at the time trying to bust who? A Louisiana governor that was making massive amounts of fraudulent loans with Royal Bank of Canada. Royal Bank of Canada was a subsidiary of Power Financial. Power Financial, or Royal Bank of Canada, was the CIA's bank and was also involved in payments on 911. Now, Otis acted in behalf of the government to bust that Louisiana governor, and he was in protective custody, and he was acting as though he was a prisoner also involved in the deal in order to go down and give his testimony to the Louisiana governor, and he did all that, and he put him in jail. And when Bush found out, he threw him, Otis, in the hole out in Nevada, in the hole for a year and a half. Now, when he got out, he contacted me. Now, I got to know him a lot better, but you should have heard the stories I heard. As an example, when Peltier came through the door, the Indian who supposedly assassinated two federal agents, and a movie was made about him, about Billy Jack, and he was being transferred through the big holding tank I was in, and a big room they had for all the ones that were going down to the underground, what do they call that place? Shit, I know the name of it. It's behind Pebble, and it's a military base in there. They built the secret underground hole for, you know, like Tim McVeigh types, those types. They had them over in Indiana before, but that's one of our secret prisons, several floors below ground. You never see daylight, nothing, and they put people there. Well, anyway, the worst of worst. Now, supposedly Peltier, the Indian that killed these two federal agents, the story behind it, Otis told me. He says, he's innocent as shit. I said, what are you talking about? And the other guy says, yeah, he is. I can't mention his name, the one that busted Gotti, but he's innocent. Go talk to him. I said, well, tell me the story. He says, what happened was there were two FBI agents that were dirty, working for Daddy Bush, and they're the ones that, like many of them, that go to the Indian reservation, and they take the number off, as the government, off those meters that they're sucking oil out of the ground on Indian reservations, and the Indians are supposed to get a certain percentage, and the oil company for extraction gets a certain percentage, and the FBI is supposed to monitor these meters, and they're supposed to do the proper reporting. Well, Peltier found out, along with two of his comrades up there, at the Indian reservation, they were being screwed out of millions and millions of dollars every year by Daddy Bush. So they reported it to the FBI. They did nothing about it. So they went in secret to another division of the FBI in another city and talked to somebody that turned out to be honest. and they send in two federal agents on the day of raiding to monitor the other two FBI agents, seeing the meter out, and they're changing the numbers on the meter. The bad guys were. The bad guys got caught, so they shot and killed the two good cops, the two good FBI agents, and they blamed it on Peltier and set him up. Now, Ramsey Clark, who's famous for defending the Iraq president, Saddam Hussein, he's famous for defending many people. He's a former attorney general of the United States. He's a good guy. Look him up. I would recommend him as a prosecutor or attorney general any day of the week. He would end him. He brought Bush up on war crimes in his book from the Gulf War I, selling the Iraq, the illegal chemicals that Bush manufactured, Iraqgate. They had anthrax in it, created Gulf War I, etc. Ramsey Clark wrote a book and had him nailed over all that shit. Now, that was Daddy Bush. Now, I'd go into this all day long, but here's the bigger point. Otis Johnson told me the truth about all this shit, never lied to me. He would hint at things when I'd call him up, say, and after 30 seconds, I gotta go. You know, I'd say, well, how are you doing? He'd say, I'm fine, what do you need? And I'd ask him, and he'd say, you're looking the wrong way, look over here. I said, okay. So that's the way I got answers. Now, he was a super spook. He sat there on the computer, on his shift, while I was working at his house. I had a separate bedroom, a separate bath. He had an office off his bedroom and off his living room. And it was a big house. I remodeled the whole thing, end to end. It took me a year, about 40 hours a week. He knew I was pounding the radio and doing my site and doing all the other stuff. And Tom Flacco was writing some stories during the period of time. And he had actually talked to him a couple of times. But here was the deal. Otis sat in the computer, and he would monitor situations around the world. That was what his job was at the NSA, hotspots. Now, Tom Hennigan calls me up one time. He turns out to be a CIA stooge, and I knew he was didn't think it was that bad that he wanted his paycheck, his $5 million over 3 years paid to him when he hit 65, but that's what it was all about, and that's the reason I dumped him, because he turned out to be a stooge, him and Leo Wanta, and they were all tied in with Gordon Duff, veterans today. They're all stooges, Alex Jones types, for money. Now, he called me up one time and says, oh, man, he says, that French airplane that was shot down, he says, this is, I don't know, 2006 or something. That's when I thought he was pretty straight. No. Yeah, around then. He says, USS de Gaulle found out it was shot down by an underground underwater alien base. I thought, what? Yeah, French got it on satellite. Because he was dating some girl at the time that was French intelligence, folks, and he was defense intelligence, okay? From CIA to defense intelligence, then back to the CIA after the Leo Wanta job interviewed, which he was part of. That's the reason he kept pushing it. They were trying to shake the government down for all this extra money. Now, still are, probably. Here's the point. He calls me up, tells me about the USS France, that French de Gaulle aircraft carrier going to fire upon this underwater alien base. About 11 o'clock at night, so, well, keep me informed. Okay. He says, can you call your buddy Otis up and ask him if it's true? Actually, well, I'm not going to call him this time of night because I talked to him earlier and he was going to bed and I said, I don't call him and wake him up. I said, just don't do that with Otis. So I said, I'll ask him tomorrow. So the next morning, I called him and said, hey, Otis, I said, I want to find out something. I said, Hennigan's trying to tell me that this happened that they were going to go attack an underground alien base. What do you want to know about it? I said, is it true? He says, I went to bed last night and I got a phone call and woke up and I had to go to work last night. And he says, let me put it this way. He says, one of our TAC boats, whatever he called it, aircraft carrier, also accompanied it. I forgot which one it was, he told me. Accompanied the de Gaulle. And he says, yes, he says, we blew an underground alien base out of the water. And yes, the U.S. was involved with France. And yes, they did. Yes, they hit some saucers, estimated at 10, not 100 that Hennigan's telling you, but about 10 of them. And he says, I said, so he's telling the truth. He says, yes. He says, and the funny part was, he said, when they woke me up and I had to get involved, he says, I didn't even call the president and wake him up. I just took it upon myself to do it. Now, that all turned out to be true. Otis told me the truth about almost everything. Here was the point. I put him on an airplane. Once it was around the 2009 time frame, 8 or 9, 9 I believe it was. I believe that was a year. Close to 2000 and, no, it was close to 2009, pushing into 2010, that I put him on an airplane with General Flynn. I saw him up there in Hastings. I was working down the street. I put him on the airplane. He asked me to drive him up there, park his Cadillac, lock his house back up. Okay, I took care of business. His girlfriend was going to pick him up at the airport when he came back, and he flew to Bluffdale, Utah. Now, in that recording, on my website, under the radio bar, scroll down to last year, last fall, September, October, I put it up. Just listen to it. I had hit on me. But what did Otis say in that conversation? Now, that was 2 or 3 years after I'd put him on the Flynn airport, put him at the airport with Flynn, General Flynn. That recording, he mentions going back out to Bluffdale. Listen to it. Now, here's what Otis did. His big first assigned job after he leaves Air Force or boot camp, they put him in Air Force Intelligence. And he sat in the new coal up there in Nebraska. I could tell everybody where it is, but I don't want the country to be in jeopardy. But it's not in Omaha. And the computer system's not in Omaha. It's in other places around the country. And it's silos they operate the command centers out of, without saying any more. Now, he spent his time there. And he also was transferred over into the CIA. And they gave him training down there in San Antonio for a year and a half and a whole bit. And later they retrained him and later retrained him and later retrained him. And I understood about $150 million the government put in this guy in his career from the time he was in Air Force Intelligence right after boot camp at 18 years of age until he died when he was a couple years older than about 5 years older than I am, and I'm 66. So he died, I think it was 2-3 years ago when they assassinated him. Now, he knew things. He told me everything. He had to work out of E-Systems. He tried to bust Daddy Bush with then CIA Director William Casey. And Casey died on his bed by being stuck in by Daddy Bush because he was going to go testify before Congress to the truth that Daddy Bush stole the entire country's wealth and had overthrown and installed a shadow government under the emphasis of Iran-Contra and other things. So he decided that he had to put a stop to him. So he made it public that he was going to Congress to testify, but he didn't say what to. But Bush found out, and Bush went over to his headquarters. And while he's in his chair, have two goons hold him in the chair and stuck a needle in his temple that caused him a cerebral hemorrhage. He laid on a hospital bed for 10 to 14 days, whatever it was, in Bethesda, with the floor below total Secret Service shit and above him, and everything closed off, and all the doctors and nurses were escorted out of there in secret in the whole bed that were taking care of him during those days. Otis was able to go see him. Also, Otis's the other assistant underneath, William Casey, was able to get in to see him. That's the reason Otis said what he did, what they did to him, because he told Otis. Now, all the doctors and nurses who were on staff on William Casey all died of either car crashes, like they've tried to do to me twice, with a rollover. They died of bad driving and or ruled their fault. And or they stick a gun to their head and it's called suicide and they blow their brains out, or they get shot behind the ear because they don't want to blow their teeth out or something, and the bullet spins around their head and it kills them. Rossmacher got that treatment down there in Arizona, Paul, you're aware of that, and he lived, and the doctors didn't charge him anything because he worked for the Arizona Republic and had done some great stories for me and other people in the past. Anyway, he got that treatment, but he lived. Now, good friend of Brian Quicks. And they started the grapevine down there and the whole bit. They were good people. Here's my whole point. Otis Johnson was a super spook. He knew everything. He had been to all these holes. He knew about the aliens. He knew when he was William Casey's assistant, he was ordered to get Daddy Bush's signature, and it happened to be on the summer solstice. And he ends up in Denver, Colorado, getting his signature, okay, on something that had to be done right then and there. And he goes through the tunnel there at the old Navari into the old Nefari from the Brown Palace at the something lounge, a bar there, and you go down, there's a door
Brown
between the
Hotel,
restaurants.
The old Brown Hotel.
Yeah, yeah, Brown Palace. And it's the
yes,
it's
right.
something
right,
bar, and you go through that door, and it goes to the old Nefari, and he went that route, and some big guy answers the door, and he tells him who he is, and flips a badge on him and shit, and does the whole nine yards, and Daddy Bush comes over by the door, and he's got a robe on, and he says, "What do you need, Otis?" He says, "Sir, I have to have your signature for this, blah, blah, blah." And he had clipboard for him and the paper and everything. And he says, "I got to see your face, Mr. Vice President." So he pulls his hood back to show him it's him. And he signs it and everything. And Otis is looking around. And he says, "Otis, what you have seen in this room, if you ever say a word to anybody, I will come kill you personally. You got that?" And he says, "Yes, sir." And he left. Now, Otis was part of the group trying to bust him. Okay. This is what came from William Casey, that later I met him in jail. Was a spinoff of Casey's work. Now, General Flynn picked up Otis Johnson. Otis Johnson told me, and I'm going to end here in a minute. Otis Johnson told me 2 months before his death, he says, "Stu, don't worry about Mueller, the special prosecutor. He says, if he doesn't do his job and prosecute Hildebeest," he used to call her too, Hillary Clinton, "for her fake dossier to steal the election, he says he will find himself in a jail cell." And I said, "You know that?" He says, "Yeah, I guarantee you he will." Well, 2 months later, he's dead. I called him when he was on his deathbed in the Omaha VA hospital from a massive heart attack. He had been hit with stonar, and he was screaming at the phone to me, and his son was holding the phone. And then I find out a week later, his son tells me he's dead. Now, they got him. General Flynn, 2 weeks later, was brought up on false charges that Sidney Powell finally got him off of. The same lawyer who got Scott Bennett off of his fake charges. Okay? I know a lot of stuff. I think I've said enough in this area. But I think that we ought to look at what Joe has brought to the table with Whitney Webb and all the stuff she's been reporting on. Joe, go ahead.
All right. It's just very short and sweet. And the best thing for anybody to do is to go to her unlimited hangout and find the article called Cyber Polygon. This is going to be an event in which they are going to drill it. And it will take place in July. And it is sponsored by the World Economic Forum. And it will be a simulation of a coming cyber pandemic. The word is pandemic. Now, what we're pointing to is that she also wrote the article, and they did an exercise. It was called Dark Winter. Fast forward to this time, and we have the COVID experience, which is an absolute devastation to bring down society. So what we're saying here is that with this cyber polygon, they're going to drill it. That's all. They're just going to drill it. That means they're going to do it later on, and it's going to have a devastating effect on the economy and everything else, just as COVID did. So go read the article for yourself.
Now, I want to say something because I'm aware of the cyber stuff and what she's writing about. And she's written about these different groups that are tied to the Mossad and the NSA and the different stuff. She's written about this. What was her series of stories there, Joe, in the past she wrote about it? About the network.
She's written on Ronald Reagan. Go to her website. And
yeah, but this was...
There's a lot of stuff there.
Excellent stuff. UnlimitedHangout.com. Now, in a series of stories she wrote here a few months back about Unit 8200, I believe you referred to it as, or she did. Tell them about that for a minute.
All right. There is, just simply put, Unit 8200 is the equivalent of the NSA here in the United States. my opinion, I think Unit 8200 controls the NSA. So, Ann Neuberger was originally a head of cyberspace security for the NSA. She was a dual Israeli citizen. What does that tell you? You don't have to be a super spy to figure that one out. So now we have an entire thing of where you have a small group of people that are going to control cyberspace. And that's just what this is all about. It is once they have it all locked in, you have no choice. And she detailed it very well in that article called Cyber Polygon.
Now, I'm going to add to this, folks, because I can testify to it. I have what's called WordPress software. About 80%, 60 to 80% of the sites, used to be 60% and went up. You can buy, or you can get a free edition loaded down to run your site on any server. Now, you pay for the extra stuff, security stuff, and you have to know what you're doing really to get in there. I've learned after having
yes,
my site up.
Yes, you do, and the audience needs to know that Stu, what we've done, what you've done, is absolutely incredible, and I would almost say fascinating, and that you're still up and running. I just want to give everyone a heads up that if you've got any resources to support our efforts, we would appreciate it. And I know that we didn't talk about this. Now, I know, Stu, I'm interrupting the flow, but I just want to say that what you have to do to keep this thing going, and by the way, you would have been thrown off YouTube 10 years ago. You never would have been allowed on YouTube, and you wouldn't have been allowed on any other platform. And what you're trying to do, and I, Grant and I, we had some great time together, and we talked about what you go through. Joffrey's been to visit. I wish I could do a pilgrimage. I got to do a pilgrimage to Arizona, Joel, and it was awesome breaking bread with Joel. You guys, we need your help. We need your prayers. I think Stu needs a whole reconfiguration. But anyway, you're using WordPress. I'm sorry. Continue, please.
Okay. And there's a software called WordFence, which identifies. And you get the free edition, but if you get the professional edition, it really identifies cyber terrorism for you. Well, I've learned which ones to look for over the years because I've blocked, oh God, it's probably close, 7 years and probably, well, the first round, I'll put an example. When I first put my website up in 2004, my server calls me up about 2 months later and he's just fierce with me. What the hell did you do? I said, what do you mean, Jim? He says, you sent out 1.5 million emails. I said, I didn't send out any email or 1.5 million emails. What are you talking about? I'll send you one. After it was over with, he sends me a copy. From Stu Webb, U.S. federal whistleblower, recommend child porno. Sent it out all over the world off of my server. So I stuck up my first cyber attack by them. I identified them. It was a government server. Now, here's the problem I've come to know since then, and it's very serious. The Israelis own a private corporation, a couple of them, own the United States government's telephone company. It also owns the United States government's internet company. It's called Cogentco, PSI, PSI hyphen and PSI com out of Denver, I mean out of Washington, D.C. It's all intertwined with the Israelis. It's a spy operation that Daddy Bush let these fuckers, excuse me, years ago to do to America. Allow the Israelis in. Now, how did they do it? Well, it was called Bill Hamilton and the Inslaw software. You can look it up, Inslaw-software.com or something like that. He's listed as now. He sold to the Justice Department in the 80s. His software and hardware to be used by the Justice Department to track white-collar criminals such as Larry Mizell, Norman Brownstein, Leonard Melman, Daddy Bush, Neil Bush, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, etc. To track unusual amounts of money, Okay, as an example, Milman's name pops over here, busting out Imperial Savings. Boom. The U.S. attorney puts it in. They've got him of record. SNL busted. This guy's tied to it. Another SNL bust. He's tied to it. All of a sudden, a third one busts, and they got him on racketeering. Actually, they got him first round if they dug deep enough, but it kind of tracks white-collar criminals, and that's what it was about. Uh-uh. Daddy Bush stole it. They had a congressional investigation over it and hearings. It said it was the most egregious thing that the Justice Department and the government had done to any one person or his company. And they recommended that the government pay him his $200 million they owed him, and they never did it. He never got paid. Bill's whole story was investigated by Bill McCoy. He was the top investigator of Iran-Contra years, him and Steven Dinnerstein, which I got to know both of them through Al Martin and through Terry Reid and others. Now, he worked everybody's case. He worked Private Tyree's case. He had all the details. He knew what the hell was going on. Okay? McCoy did. Now, Inslaw, he investigated for Hamilton's. He had him nailed. Bill was killed over the Oklahoma City bombing book, Oklahoma City Power of Politics by Dave Hoffman, because Hoffman was running his mouth, and he mentions me in his book and thanks me, but he describes a few of the things McCoy gave him. Now, Inslaw, they were able to put a trap back door in the software. Michael Reconosciuto, the brainchild, who worked with Raymond Lavis, who changed and made lasers twist and turn in space because of Inslaw, and Reconosciuto put the trap back door in, and he blew his mouth off, and Ted Gunderson set him up on a fake meth lab, which he got out two, three years ago. I did have contact with through another source with him, Jim Rothstein, former New York cop, that dropped the Finders documents. And Gunderson, Ted Gunderson, the ex-FBI troll stooge who used to appear on Alex Jones' show all the time and slander me and others, and always went around claiming he was in charge of the, or released the Finders. He didn't. It was Jim Rothstein. Jim Rothstein investigated the story behind Michael Reconosciuto and found it to be true. Michael was involved in all kinds of crap. Here was the point. He put the trap back door. Daddy Bush sold it to all the intelligence divisions around the world, gave it to the Israelis for free. The Inslaw, which turned into the Promise software, which turned into all kinds of other stuff, which today is the Intel chip, folks, being sold by the state of Israel, stolen by Israel, and given that permission to do so. Daddy Bush was all involved in this espionage, along with the Clintons and everybody else. I could talk about it for hours of details that I know. Here's the point. This software is all hooked up into Bluffdale, Utah. It's hooked up into Jerusalem University over there, where they have the cyber terrorism in Tel Aviv, where they have the cyber terrorists going on. You can go to my website, stuweb.com, and you can look down the column, just punch in cyber terrorism on the search bar. It'll bring up all kinds of stuff. But if you look at the most recent post that I've done of cyber terrorism against Stu Webb's site, you will see that it comes from Cheney Reservoir in Kansas, which is part of the secret underground base they've got tied to Bluffdale, tied to Atlanta, tied to D.C., tied into Virginia, into Fairfax, Virginia, into various places, Langley, Virginia, etc. It's all tied together. And it's the U.S. government. Now, if you look at that one, that last posting, you will see it comes out of Cheney Reservoir. But it also comes out of Israeli servers. It shows the tie between the two. The Israelis shooting out of Israel was smacking through the Cheney Reservoir, part of the U.S. National Security Agency's secret underground cyber or command center to monitor you. Now, everybody's a signature on the planet. You got a cell phone, they hear everything you're doing. You got a camera in the cell phone, they can take pictures. They got such stuff you can't believe. Now, as an example, yesterday and the day before, because they're getting pissed off at me because I've got them so screwed up and blocked, they can't even move. Now, I'm going to extract that because I can do it. I've already done it. I did it again this morning. The list of IPs. I'm going to offer available for a $100 contribution. All you have to do is go get the WordPress site, go get the free edition of WordFence, and boom, enter them in. Extraction, take out, bring in. It does it in software. I've got somebody else working on the fact. If you got other type of website, there's going to be a software available for the $99 contribution. I've got them blocked. They're going nuts. So who hits me? Who knocks my website down is my question. So I'm monitoring it. I'm watching it. I'm doing things this morning because it was down again. I got it restored and went through a couple hours of crap. And who just pops up? Well, Fairfax, Virginia. Go look up this IP, folks. I haven't posted it. It's 70.168.133.166. 70.168.133.166. It goes to Langley. It's part of their government stuff. Now, you go to What Is It My IP, or you go to DNSlytics.com, and you can look this stuff up. Now, I punch a button with WordFence, and it popped up to me immediately, and it shows me two sets of IPs. It's Cox Communication out of Atlanta with, $2 million in this block, and in it has a special block of 2048. That's Langley right there. That block was closed this morning, folks. That's an example of what I do, and I'm not blocking people. I've had complaints, oh, he had me blocked. Yeah, I've got everybody unblocked now as far as I know, but that's an example. That's an example of what hit me today. Who was behind it? Okay, now, I want to talk about this. This cyber stuff goes to the alien base, folks. These are fallen angels. What they can do and what they control. And I also want to tell you, look at cyber terrorism attacks. A couple past three postings I've done in the breaking news column. You get a general idea of what they're doing to my site all the time. But my site loads in 5 to 15 seconds. Look it up on the internet. The website loading under a minute. You're a fast site. I got a lot of hit count. It's still up there, close to the million, but 200,000 of them are attacks. And they've been identified and shut down. I have one of the cleanest sites, the safest sites to come to. You're not being attacked. You're not being identified because that's what it's about. These bots that they sent out of these various servers that they use are there to control your website, hook onto the links on your site, sometimes to break the links on your site, to grab what's on your site, run it back to a central computer of which then their trolls come into that site and they're able to see what is being posted and how to control it, and they're told what to do. You have, like me, I know that there has been five different locations tied to the United States government and the Israelis. One of them's to deal with Larry Mizell directly out of Denver, Colorado, and Norman Brownstein and their goon. The other one is directly out of the Mossad, out of Israel, and the other is out of the NSA involving Kansas City FBI number 5, which I've tailed the bastards to the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office where they're running the operation, including hit teams with Google out of Kansas City. I got you all fucking identified. You're screwed. If I ever get to a court of justice, you are all going to prison for a long, long time. Now,
all right, we need to transition here because everything that you've said is absolutely explosive. And it's truth that is unvarnished, and it's real, it's reality. We started with General Flynn, and General Flynn said a number of things that I think everyone ought to take to heart. We can't know if there is misinformation or disinformation or something else happening with General Flynn. But what we can know is what we actually can see and witness. And it appears to me there's an impeachment trial going on right now. And it appears to me that the shadow government is running things. And it appears to me that Donald Trump was selected, as they all are. And so, Joffrey, I know that sometimes we ask you to interpret the handwriting. It's the many, many tickle and parzon. what do you make of all this? Because we got to wrap this one up because I have a commitment with Stu and Joel. I have a friend who's written 4 books, and ideally we'd like to connect with him because he has some information that is additive to what we're hearing on this program. And if we can bring him on, he's written 4 impressive books that go very, very, very deep. What do you got for us, Joffrey? What do you know?
In light of what Joel mentioned earlier and what Stu has mentioned, trying to piece this together, it looks as though we are being steered towards the Great Reset as to what we've been talking about, stakeholder capitalism, and how we are seeing the pieces of the puzzle being moved around to where we, the pawns, the people, are being positioned to be, I would almost say, obsolete or recategorized into a world of automation, and it's becoming not necessarily needing the people. So, okay, so I'm scrambling my thoughts a minute, but to get us from a place of where we are today to where we see a Great Reset, and we're involved because we are human capital, we are stakeholder capitalism, but there's too many of us. You get a Trump that comes in, what role is he playing? Is he playing a role to help transition us into, by defeat, transition us into a system where it has to collapse? Is he part of a fundamental link in the chain that has to collapse to move us to this 4th industrial revolution? Everything seems to center around money, as we always know. That's what moves markets and moves innovation. So I guess what I'm thinking out loud here, but we maybe aren't that necessary in a world that's becoming more automized, and the human capital has to play a function in that role. But how do we exit the stage? And this is where I would say to some of the eugenics that we've talked about, and where even Boris Johnson the other day talked about his dad, or maybe didn't talk about his dad, but his dad is a eugenicist as well, and needing the vaccinations. We've got basically a move to, I'm careful in how I say this, but really, we aren't needed. The masses of the people aren't really needed in a world that is becoming automated. So you have too much drag on the system. How do you move all of this in coordination together? How do you do this? The other day I was looking at an article about a ribeye steak from a company in Israel that takes bovine DNA, makes the steak in a test tube, and Netanyahu was delighted to try it. You know, so where is this going? You know, I think we have a whole swirl of activity and things happening all at the same time that are dizzying in their nature to me to try and sort them out. You guys bring things to the table that require thinking, and I like that. I don't know if there's an easy solution, and I don't know if I've made it any more clear. Maybe not, maybe more muddy, but I do see us having to have an event. There has to be either a war, or there has to be something that happens with a disease or economic, whatever. Has to be a catalyst to the system we're in now to transition us or the masses into a new one. I guess that's where I'm at with it.
Guys, closing comments. What do you say, Joel, to... there's been a whole lot of unvarnished reality that Stu gives us, and you've known Stu for a long, long time, and we all know similar cast of characters, and then the attitude. How do you summarize where we're at right now with what we know about General Flynn and his statements and what Stu has talked about? What sort of summary, precis, can you provide us?
Joe, you there? Joe, are you there?
I can hear him faintly.
I can hear him. Joe, you're going to speak up.
his speaker, I think, is on.
Is your speaker off, Joe? I can hear him, but I'm not getting him. Joe, you got a comment? I think they're messing with him. Jeff, you want to take it for a minute?
Yeah, I don't. I can't hear him either.
They've messed with his communication.
It'd be nice if we could get him to weigh in. I'll call him to wind up, but either one, guys, that's fine.
Okay, Paul, why don't you wind it up? Let's close this thing out with a prayer or two. I mean, we need
Yes. And it's another wowzer day for me. And, Stu, let's just admit that spiritual warfare is very real. I've just been getting hit. I just feel like almost getting out of bed. I better hit the floor. Anyway, it's massive. The spiritual warfare, we are battling forces that we can't see, that we don't understand. And what you're talking about is so real, and we are against an enemy that is formidable. And what I'm here to say is, you know, Joffrey, you bring so many things to the table, and your insight and perspective are essential so that we kind of understand that we're being understood. It's massive. So I am just going to turn it back to you, Joffrey, and Stu, and I'm out of bullets, you guys. I'm under spiritual attack.
Yeah, they got you under one today. They got me under one. Trying to take your plumbing out, trying to take out my computer and my internet site. That's part of the battle we all go through. Now, why am I living after all these years of what I know? As Otis Johnson said, he says, Stu, your library card expired. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, you got a degree. He says, that's the reason I call you doctor all the time. He says, you got a degree from the Bush, Melman, Clinton Crime Syndicate University. He says, and you've gotten to know too much, so they said your library card expired. He said, that means they're always going to be out to kill you because you know too friggin' much. Now, the only thing that keeps me alive are angels of protection in Psalms 93. I know that, Psalms 92. I know that. It's because of my belief in Jesus Christ. I've seen people die, prosecutor's son, judge's son. I've seen Baphomet, the goat-headed demon himself. I've seen the whole friggin' mess. And I tell you, it's not a pleasant experience. It's not fun to live this way. But this is part of what I'm doing for whatever purpose. And I know that I'm going to be on the other side. I'm going to be standing there, maybe even building mansions in heaven. Who knows? That'd be a nice job. With that said, you've got some of the most powerful prayer warriors on this planet, probably, that I'm aware of, on this program with me. Jeff, Paul, Joel. Joel's got a whole network of prayer warriors. He's been out there and he's seen Daddy Bush on the other side, dead, okay, in his spiritual form, his fallen angel form. Crazy stuff people see and happen. All I can say is people better get right with Jesus Christ, God Almighty. If you don't know him, you better get to know him, and you better quit letting your preacher do the praying for you. You better start praying on your hands and knees yourself. And your prayers will be answered, folks. Come to know who he is if you don't. We've got to have the patriot community understand now what the truth is. You've got to get in the spiritual realm of things. It's the only way we're going to be able to defeat them. They are killing people, and they plan on killing two-thirds of mankind in a very short period of time in a rampage. And these are fallen angel-possessed human beings, 200,000 of them, as Otis said, that are registered with the NSA, and 10 million cloned out of Hope, Arkansas with no conscience or soul. Those are cloned devil machines. What is the difference between Biden? Look at the original Biden and his eyeball color versus his current Biden and his eyeball color. Look at the difference in his ear. Is this a clone? Who knows? Is it the possibility? Hell yes. Who's running these clones? Daddy Bush used to run them. E-Systems, Dallas, Texas is the shadow government within the government. E-Systems, Dallas, Texas is the shadow government inside the government, the control box, folks. That's what needs to be shut down. It shuts everything else down. Heart needs to be shut down. Prayer warriors can shut these things down. I want to see God Almighty take and crucify on the spot, electrify a lightning bolt for whoever sits in the joystick again, moving heart around like they're doing with this weather wars that's got this nation in sub-zero degree temperatures. It can be stopped with prayer, I believe. God, I'm going to ask for that today. I'm going to ask everybody to join in. Whoever the next person sits down the joysticks and moves that thing around, he dies in the chair. I want Jesus Christ to bring judgment on these people. I want it stopped. This is demonic. This is satanic. They're out to kill us, the human race. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm hoping to defeat the bastards. Now, with that said, Jeff, I want you to take it to prayer. I got this anger in me.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give us a calmness of spirit, how we seek vengeance in a good fashion, how we seek your mighty justice to be displayed against these who would cause harm to the innocent people, and those who wish to steer and direct life and cause problems for your good people, Lord, you've set aside to be your servants. You know who we are, you know who they are, and those who have who have been written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Lord, we call upon you, and we call upon your protection as we need it, as David did as well, with his precatory prayers of just calling out the injustice in a world that has gone mad. Sometimes it's very, very disturbing just to know the truth of what's going on. God, I don't wish to be ignorant. I don't wish our audience or us to be ignorant of the times. We need to know where we are and what's going on, but that does empower us to call upon you. We have seen, as even the minor prophets that I've been looking into quite a bit lately, they come up against the injustices of the leadership and the things that they see, and just waiting, saying, Lord, where are you? Please come to the aid of your people. And God, you're always working. We know that you're always working behind the scenes. It just isn't always our timetable. It was 400 years, roughly, I believe, from the last prophet till John the Baptist showed up on the scene. Time can go by. But God, we need intervention, and we certainly see the necessity as the hour is late and it appears that there is much going on. We need divine intervention. We need your protection. We need your wisdom and your strength to come against those who would cause harm against your people, as well as your protection and guidance. God, you have sought the lamb that goes out. You seek the individual that's estranged from you. That's the kind of God you are. You are a seeker, and you are a protector, and you are the shepherd. That's why you're referred to as the good shepherd. You're willing to put your life on the line, as you've done, as you've given your life for us. So we ask you that you would again, we're calling for your protection in this hour, in this day. And again, we call upon you for all that you do. We are helpless. We have nothing to offer. You are our everything. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name and in his blood, that you would protect your people and cause more to come to you and protect the children in peril at this moment. We know they are. Protect those people and those children that you love. Bring them to yourself, Lord. And again, we ask this in your name. Amen.
And those within the shadow government, Father, bring them to salvation. Or, Father, bring them to salvation. Let it be your will. I ask in your holy name, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you, Father, my Lord and Savior, and by your stripes. And I'm in confirmation with the prayer that Jeff just asked for. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Take care, man.
You too.
Take care.